old blind Mike doo-doo-doo. A blind Mike doo-doo. Look, it's blind Mike, and he's doing an interview. What will he ask? Who will it be? Will he pass gas? Will it be boring? Never! It's a blind Mike interview. A blind Mike interview. A blind Mike interview. A blind Mike interview.
All right, everybody. I teased this on the last episode. I didn't want to say anything because I didn't know if he would come through or not. I got a message, a very strange message, and I didn't know what to make of it. It's from our good buddy from the Tom Myers versus the rest of the world podcast and Haver de Grace legend. The great Tom Myers is joining the show today. What's up, Tom?
Doing all right. You know, when you said, until you said the Haver de Grace legend, I thought you were going to bring Jeff Heisen on, my good buddy and fellow podcast panelist.
Well, but I'm not lucky yet, Tom. So
you're a Boston guy, so he might he does a lot of stuff about the Mets. He hates the Yankees, so like he might do
common ground.
I can only imagine how he would roast us. But Tom, I'm curious. You messaged me last week, and we started talking off air a little bit, but I wanted to wait just because I wanted to bring it up on the show. So you messaged me last week. I think Hackride reached out to you not quite a year ago, last summer, and wanted you on the show. You said no. You guys went back and forth. And then you reached out to me just the other day. What made you reach out to me? Because we haven't reached back or anything. Why was I festering in your mind?
Well, it was the, believe it or not, it was YouTube's algorithm.
Okay.
That did that. So, like a couple of your videos popped up, videos involving you. So I happened to watch a couple of those, and I was quite enchanted, shall we
say. Is that right? Which videos did you watch?
It was, well, believe it or not, it was the your interview with Richard Ojeda. That popped up on my YouTube feed. I have no idea why. And then your blind date interview. That interview popped up.
I had a feeling it might be that. So shout out to Lauren Compton. Thank you. Lauren got Tom Myers on the show. That's a big deal.
Bringing us all together.
Lauren Compton and YouTube's algorithm. It worked for once.
Okay. Well, It's funny you bring up the Ojeda interview, because I looked at you coming on kind of similarly to when we had Richard Ojeda on, because Richard Ojeda is a guy that are you familiar with his content, Ojeda?
I am. Yeah, I mean, I'm familiar with his backstory, being involved in politics and studying political campaigns and whatnot. I'd heard of him, so I was somewhat familiar with him.
Okay, so we've covered his content in the past. He's a crazy character. Like, he's very into politics and very passionate about it. So we've had fun making some fun of some of his videos, and then we had him on, and he couldn't have been more playful.
A podcaster being crazy? No.
That's exactly right.
Unheard of.
He couldn't have been more playful when we had him on. He was totally in on the joke, and I love that. And that's why we wanted to get you on, Tom, because I have made fun of you in the past, and if you keep looking through that algorithm, you will see an episode of a podcast I do called Why Are You Laughing, titled Tom Myers, the World's Worst Comedian. So I just want to be upfront with you that we have talked about you in that way in the past.
Real quick.
That's why, legitimately, Tom, we were sitting in silence before the show because I was like, I don't want him to think we're going to sandbag him. I appreciate that he's coming on, but we've talked plenty of shit about you before.
You know what? A lot of people have talked shit about me over the years, and a lot of it's just been water off a duck's back, pretty much. Sure. Like, I'm 41. I've experienced this stuff since middle school. So it's like that. It's like white noise, or like the adults when they talk in the Peanuts cartoons, that sound effect. It's all like, over my head, right? That kind of thing. So, but no, like I said, like I saw your videos, and I legit feel bad about how things kind of worked out or didn't work out, as the case may be.
I appreciate that. And I remember correctly, Hackride used a phrase like, come on, man, do you, which was very rude of him. So I kind of blame him for that one.
I mean, it was less than professional. Like, I've asked
you can
people
say it, Tom. Give him some shit. You can give him some gut.
Go at him hard.
I have enough online enemies. I don't want any more. No.
So, Tom, that's why I was excited to get you on, because when you say that you have online enemies, I don't think you have to. Because like I said, we've shit on some of your content before, but we can have a conversation like this now where you can give me shit back if you want to or whatever you want to do. But my thing has always been at the start of this, and I feel that the reason I know who you are, and I think the reason a lot of people in the comedy world know who you are, is because of Cumtown and Nick Mullen. And in my opinion, I always thought you handled that poorly, even though he was shitting on you. And sometimes, like, the shit he was saying, sure, if someone was saying that about me, I might not like it either. But I always felt that, like, he did, in a weird way, give you a fan base. Do you agree with that assessment at all or no?
Only partially. Like, okay. The Nick Mullen thing goes back long before he did his podcast. Like, I had already been doing comedy for quite a bit. Not a long time, maybe a few years at that point. I'd also been on the road doing some stuff. I'd been traveling to a few states, nothing like what I would eventually, later do. But, he was just starting, and he just never really took a liking to me for some reason. No, maybe, to be fair, maybe it was my personality. I'm not exactly the easiest person in the world to get along with.
Okay.
And I did a CD recording in Bel Air, Maryland, a place you might know very well because you are advertising the venue on your chapeau at the moment.
Sean Boland's,
a lovely place called Sean Boland's.
Hell yeah.
good Irish pub, and upstairs is where they have like bands, and they used to do comedy shows up there as well. It's very good. Very good show area up there. And he yes. happened to be on the bill, not by my choosing. It was booked by someone else. I got to have a couple openers, people who would go up before me. This other comedian chose, this other booker chose the other comics. Nick was one of them. And he got real indignant at the show because I wouldn't buy him a drink off of my comics tab. Okay. I mean, I love Sean Bowens. It's a great place, but it's not like the Improv, or it's not like the Laugh Factory or anything. It's not a major comedy venue. So, I mean, they don't really take care of comedians.
It wasn't free drinks for all the comics.
Right. Yeah, pretty much. Okay. It's a small business pretty much. And, like even when I perform, I probably over tipped like the bartenders and the wait staff, because I ran a restaurant for 8 years. I know how they bust their ass and how hard they work. So I, not to toot my own horn, but I try and take care of them.
Sure.
So I would say fast forward a few years after that. This was December of 2017. I made a tweet that I had made. It was about something about the Donald Trump tax bill. It was like, what in the name of the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster is this something doing in a tax bill? It was some wasteful spending thing. I'm a liberal, but I can attack government spending. Come on. Sure. It's especially stupid. Mm-hmm. That was retweeted by a friend of mine, the late, great Barry Crimmins. He was another Boston guy, passed away some years ago. That was probably my most popular tweet that I posted as a result. Like, it got tens of thousands of views, like hundreds and thousands of like reposts and likes, and the little the share thing where you put your own thoughts, your own comment above. Like, among the people who shared it and retweeted it was Judd Apatow. So I went ahead and shared that. I was like, wow, this is great. He shared it. And then the next thing I know, Nick goes on and says something along the lines of, oh, look at Tom Myers begging Judd Apatow for tweets. But the exact opposite was true. What was true is he had retweeted something, and I said, wow, this is cool. It, the, nothing nothing more than that. It was, that's just a simple explanation. And it was right around that time that I started getting more, like I started getting more the clicks and the follows and the DMs and all. So it was just like right tweet, wrong time. I guess you call it. It's I'm not even allowed to call it a tweet anymore. Thanks to Elon Musk. I'm not allowed to call it that. So that's pretty much the history behind that.
Right. But so like when Nick goes on and makes fun of you, like asking Judd Apatow to retweet you or whatever, even if it's not accurate, can you say he's a comedian that was making fun of another comedian on his show? Like he was using you for fodder and maybe he was being a total dick about it. But my thought has always been because they've offered you to go on the show, right? Am I wrong about that? They've claimed to. I don't know if they actually have reached out.
They've claimed to. No one's really reached out to me in that regard.
Oh, is that right? They've never actually, because I remember one time they said they were offering you like $10,000 to do the show or something.
Never got that offer.
Really?
Never got that offer.
Would you do it?
No.
Okay. Well, why?
Well, first off, the podcast doesn't exist anymore. So,
the Adam Friedman show.
Adam Friedman
show. Well, it's like the Ron White joke where like you could dress a pile of shit up in $5,000 worth of clothes. It's still a pile of shit. I look at it the same way pretty much.
But they do pretty well, Tom. Like I know you were enchanted by this podcast, but that would move some units. That would move some tickets if you went on the Adam Friedland show.
10 G's is nice too.
And this won't, the great blind Mike project won't.
I think you might get a couple. I think we'll go back to Havre de Grace next year or something. But you know, I can't make any promises, Tom.
We'll have a big reunion. We'll go out and we'll have a nice little party and all. But
that I like the sound of. But that was always my main contention with you, and why I was like harsher on you than maybe I should have been. Because like I said, I watched you on you did that Mir Musk show with those guys a couple weeks ago.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And when I watched it, I was like, you know what? Tom's like a nice guy. Like you come off as a genuinely nice guy. But when I see certain interactions like with.
No.
But when I see interactions like with Cumtown or like with Who Are These Podcasts, which I want to get to, I'm like, is he an asshole? I can't tell, because with those interactions, I don't find you to be as playful as you could be. It seems like you come off as more of an asshole than I'm finding you to be in this exchange.
Well, again, and another reason why I won't do this show, like even if they offered me like 10 grand, even if they offered me like 100 grand, reason I still wouldn't take it is because on another episode, Nick had referenced a time when he reached out to me, said he wanted me to do something in Austin, Texas at the time, because that's where he was living.
Right.
And we had gone back and forth about some stuff, but we couldn't work out logistics and whatnot. You know, shit happens. No big deal. I just chalk that up as, you know, something that happens on just a bump in the road of life.
Sure.
And years later, he goes on his podcast and says, oh, I was never really going to offer anything. I was never really going to do that and everything. So I was like, okay. So it's like either you were lying then or you're lying now. So basically, okay. And he can come after me for this if he wants. He can, if he wants to sue me, good luck. I'm going to say this right now. Nick Mullen is an admitted and documented liar because he said that on his show.
I thought that was going to be way worse.
Let him come after. Let him come after me.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll sue you for that one. He might agree with that. That's fine. So you basically, you wouldn't do the Adam Friedland show or Cumtown or anything like that because you just deep down hate Nick. That's pretty much all it is, right?
It's not so
like,
much hate.
But you, I mean, but meaning you guys have a personal relationship that stems further than the podcast, I guess.
Pretty much, yeah. And it's I really don't want to do... I don't want to do a podcast where like there's such a history of animus and deceit that, you know, I don't want to, why would I subject myself to that and go through the hassle?
Does any part of you think like as a comic, like, well, I can go on there and rip the shit out of him if I wanted to, like we can actually go at it and I can air my side of things and call him out for being a liar, or does that not appeal to you?
it doesn't appeal to me because I could go on and I could go on and do stuff, say stuff, go ahead and talk about what, you know, I think I might and give what I think, maybe great lines. But for example, their audience might not. And ultimately, it's just I'm trying to convert people who don't want to be converted.
See, I don't agree with you, Tom, because I think like Luis J. Gomez had you on because of Nick Mullen. Like that's again where like guys like me became a fan in a way of yours. Like I drove to Havre de Grace to see you. You can track it all the way back to Nick Mullen. Like I do think these people, even sometimes it starts out as mocking or whatever. Like a lot of the people in your on your social media posts that say "Go off, King" and that sort of stuff. Those are Cumtown fans. Like whether you want to believe it or not, I do think you've converted people into fans.
Facts.
And I certainly won't deny I've converted them. In fact, sure. Like I perform in shows. It's like whether I've done shows, say in DC or Baltimore, Philly, New York, even Boston, which I did before the pandemic, they were in front of great crowds, very supportive crowds. And I enjoyed myself. People came up afterwards, took pictures, that kind of thing. Like they seem to legit enjoy themselves. I would say that the people who, if people really dislike me, then they wouldn't come out and they wouldn't come out at all and show their support. They would just sit behind the keyboard and just type shit and you know, never really follow through with anything.
Right. Well, that's kind of my point though. And that's the thing with a lot of this is like, you know, another guy that gets a lot of hate online is Brendan Schaub. And when Brendan Schaub was in Boston, we went and saw his live show. And, you know, you can argue what the reasons were for this, but we had genuine fun. Like we had a great time because we had like listeners of the podcast came out. We all got together, had a good time, watched Brendan's show, and we had a story afterwards. So like we go out and support. Now you're also going to get assholes who are just saying nasty shit online, but I think that's everybody. I think that's people who have legendary careers get that, where there's always people in the comments that are like, ah, he's a piece of shit, fuck him, whatever. But those are also, in a weird way, fans. So that's what I'm saying is like, here's where I don't agree with you.
I take the phone away from my nephew and like, okay, you can't comment on any of my videos again. So.
Oh, Tom. I like that. But where I don't agree with you is like you've thrown out a blanket statement like called Nick Mullen a Nazi podcaster. I've heard you refer to having Nazi fans and things like that. But I just don't agree with that characterization.
His fan base does lean to that particular.
I think the small minority of them. I think if you went to Skankfest, which I don't know why Lewis hasn't booked you there, quite frankly, but I think if you went to Skankfest, you would see a lot of those people, and they've been so mischaracterized. Like it's, I think it's a similar audience, and the Skankfest audience has been painted with this broad brush of being, you know, white nationalists or neo-Nazis, and it's so far from I've gone every year except for the first one, and it's so far from the truth. That I think once you do interact with those people, you say, oh, well, you know what? Even if they say shitty things about me online, these are good people. These are just comedy fans that want to have fun.
Well, I have been invited to Skankfest twice.
Oh, you have? Why didn't you do it?
Yeah. The first time was in 2018. Mm-hmm. I have a head for numbers. So if it sounds like I'm being precise, then that's just numbers. I'm a numbers oriented guy. First time was in 2018. I was invited to do a roast battle. And at the time, like that wasn't my thing. Like I just wanted to go and do, stand up because that's what I love doing. And like, I just wanted to go ahead, do my time and get off the stage pretty much. Mm-hmm. And then the year after that, I was invited to do a stand-up showcase, but I wasn't able to work. It was on short notice and I couldn't work out. I couldn't do a scheduling thing or whatever. I didn't think I was going to get booked after 2018. Right. So when this booking came through, I tried to rearrange things. But I wasn't able to do it. Unfortunately, but which I regret because I do agree with you that from my understanding, Skankfest fans are great comedy fans. And if I'm given the opportunity to perform again, I'd certainly take it.
All right. So if you're invited to Skankfest this year, you'll be there.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Get that message delivered. We got to make this happen.
That's a big if. Like, don't pressure him into doing it because like
that. Start tweeting at the Rattlesnake.
I was going to say everyone actually go pressure him to do it.
Yeah, definitely pressure Luis J. Gomez to have Tom at Skankfest this year. But that's the thing, Tom. I think like you would get a massive pop there, and percentage of the people in that audience absolutely will have tweeted nasty things about you in the past or commented on your YouTube channel or, you know, just said things in jest. But like they are just comedy fans that are excited to see you there ultimately.
Well, I believe it or not, I hope you're right. You may find this hard to believe, but I like being wrong. about some things. So
I hope I can prove you wrong. So Tom to Skankfest, we got to make that happen. Tweet at the Rattlesnake. And the other thing, because you're a guy, you've got enemies out there, Tom. So I wanted to talk about to you about another enemy you've got. A friend of mine. I don't know if you know this guy is my co-host. A lot of people say I carry him on the program, but we are equals, I think. On Who Are These Socials, my buddy Carl from Who Are These Podcasts. You're familiar with him. You may know him as Podcast Karen.
Oh yeah, my buddy. We chat all the time. We exchange baking recipes, like sourdough bread recipes during the pandemic. It was fun. It was a great time.
Good. Well, he's a lady that likes to cook. He's often in the kitchen.
Wood paneling.
Where does the disdain come from him? Because to me, he's another guy, like, I think he makes fun of podcasts in a way. Sometimes he can be, you know, mean, I guess you could say. But I don't think he does it in a nasty way. I don't think he goes over the line or anything like that. And I think, again, with him, people have made the mistake. I know you've dipped your toe into the Dabbleverse recently. So I don't know how familiar you are with what Stuttering John has been up to recently. But, like, John makes the mistake of going full bore and playing the victim against Carl. And I think it's such a mistake for him to do. And in your interactions with Carl, I've seen you get kind of snippy with him, but again, I think you should embrace this stuff, Tom, or what's your issue with Carl? Maybe I'm not aware of it.
Well, ideally, like it's the basis for the podcast is a good one, but like, I don't necessarily, the direction he could have taken it could have been much better. Like it for me, this is me personally, and far be it for me to say I have my thumb on the pulse of the of podcast listeners all over this great and wonderful and slowly dying planet of ours, but podcasts that engage in excessive negativity, I don't really like listening to.
Well, Tom, I got bad news for you. You're on one.
Well, you know, listen, I blame the YouTube algorithm and Lauren Compton for that one, your interview for that one.
Was it the big boobs? Was it the boobs?
but again, so I guess ultimately my question with Carl is like, do you get mad when you see him talking about you? Because it comes out when you refer to him as Podcast Karen, you comment on like his YouTube channel and stuff like that. It comes off as you're very angry, but is that not the case?
Well, I have since stopped for reasons I won't get into now. I'm just waiting to see how some things sort themselves out, and when and if they do, I'll come back on and update you guys to them. I'll go ahead and make that's a promise. That's a guarantee.
Nice.
But what I've tried to do is I've tried to sort of do the opposite of what Stuttering John does, whereas like he had a political podcast, which regardless of what you think about his politics, like it was okay. It wasn't exactly what I would do.
It was the most.
I like the time's trying to be nice, and he can't even muster a good. He's like, it was fine.
It's unfortunately the best thing he's done.
it was whatever. It was okay.
But then when he turned his show basically into a fight against trolls, again, that falls into excessive negativity category.
Correct.
And like, for example, like I do, like my podcast, Tom Myers versus the Rest of the World, is just the exact opposite of that. It's started off as a political show, and it stayed a show talking about politics and not discussing the trolls and things like that, not getting into personal beefs and podcast wars and and the like. I'll give you an example. And I would probably have like the Stuttering John of, say, 2015, 2016 on when he started the podcast. I mean, he was going on shows and discussing stuff, but the Stuttering John of now, I would not have him as a guest on my show.
Not even if it was just straight talking politics, because you know it would devolve into a screaming match about Shuley or Carl or something, right?
Yeah, I don't, like, maybe I'll start a podcast down the line that would do that. Maybe if I get really, really bored and just fed up with life. But as of now, I don't want to.
Tom's roasting us.
Wait a minute. You two are the exceptions to the rule now.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you.
I'm not even here.
But yeah, like I said, the Stuttering John of 2024, because from what I understand, he charges even small podcasts exorbitant amounts of money. Like, there was the clip I did when I was on the Uncle Rico show, where he charged this small podcaster like $200 to be on the show. And then he showed up like late and drunk, and he took a phone call during the guy's show.
Yep.
So from my guests, I expect 100% professionalism from them. And like, if he's going to show up like shit faced and hammered, and if he's going to charge me like a grand to be a guest on my show, I don't need that. Like, I might agree with him on a political level, but in terms of his behavior, I don't. That's why I was ready and willing to do Uncle Rico and goof on the guy, just from purely the technical standpoint, like his appearance and the way he does his show and all that stuff.
He's always wet.
Yeah, well, we talked about him a couple weeks ago because he was going to charge. Someone was trolling him in his YouTube chat. Well, everyone was trolling him in his YouTube chat, but one guy in particular was pretending to be Louis J. Gomez and inviting him on the Legion of Skanks podcast. Now, John, A, looks ridiculous because he's arguing with a not real Louis J. Gomez, but he was going to charge Louis $500 if he wanted John on Legion of Skanks. And it's such the wrong mentality, because it's like, John, that would do wonders for your career. You'd be back in comedy. Like, John has distanced himself from the world of comedy and made himself this clown that just yells about Carl and Shuley every day. And that's ultimately what I was saying to you when I feel like you should embrace things like Come Town or the Adam Friedland Show if you have the opportunity, because I think it's the reverse of Stuttering John. And that's honestly why I titled that episode the way that I did, Tom Myers, the World's Worst Comedian, because I do think if you branded yourself that way and kind of embraced what some of the trolls say about you, it would make yourself so endearing to a lot of those people and I think open more doors for you. So, I think John is proof of the opposite.
It's literally not true. And the people who've come out to support me have shown that over the years.
But Tom, don't you think there's something to be like, so many people have tried comedy. I think being the worst comedian in the world would be more impressive than being the best comedian in the world. Like, there's only a handful of good comics. There are so many bad comics that to be the worst would really have to stand out. Like, that would make you so unique. People would say, I have to see this guy. He's billing himself as the world's worst comedian.
And we do know that's not true, but it's a good way to bill.
Well, I appreciate that. But it's not something I want to do. Like, no. We'll compromise. I'll call myself the world's most so-so comedian. I'll start
no, now. That's the, you can't do that. Because then people are going to say, who gives a fuck about this guy?
They say that now anyway. So, you know, I'm used to it. Come on now.
Let me manage you, Tom. God damn it. But, okay, so to get back on track here, with Carl, do you see an opportunity like that at all where if I went on Who Are These Podcasts, and again, I don't know if Carl's invited you on either. Has he reached out at all?
No.
Okay, so if he did,
Carl,
because I told him I was having you on, and he was like, "Would you want me on?" And I was like, "Honestly, Tom reached out. He was very nice. I don't want to ambush him, but I do think ultimately you should do that podcast if he does invite you on, because I think it would show people, like, he has a bigger audience than I do, so you're showing even more people. Oh, Tom can be playful. You can bust Tom's balls, and he can give it right back.
Not interested.
All right. All right. Well, I appreciate this being the exclusive Tom Myers landing spot.
This is pretty good.
I'm just trying to open your mind a little, but.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, like I said, I decided to come on here because, you know, I feel kind of bad about how things, how things ended up all those months ago. So I figure this is me trying to make a peace offering. I feel you deserve it.
You've done more than that, Ty. I genuinely appreciate you reaching out and coming on. But now we should address, since you brought that up, we should address what happened in Havre de Grace, where me and some of the boys, some of the listeners of this program, got loaded up in the car. We drove down to Havre de Grace, Maryland. Had a hell of a time.
You guys are fucking nuts for it, for calling all the way from Boston, but I appreciate it.
We were.
Did you at least get a place to stay for the night, or did you just?
We did. Yeah. No, we stayed in a hotel. We didn't drive right back.
Okay, good. Because like I said, before the pandemic, when I was in Boston, I drove up to Montreal. Like, I left Boston to go to Montreal to do a gig, and then I came back. It was in January. And it was during a snowstorm. So I thought, like, I really am dedicated if I'm driving through this shit. So
yeah, it's good timing, Tom.
So, but no, I legit do appreciate you guys. Appreciate you guys coming out
and
enjoying yourselves, which I hope you did.
We gave it up for you. We were rocking and reeling and hanging from the ceiling. I thought we were having a great time. Now, do you know this angle of it at all? Do you know why I had resentment and it seems like wrongly toward you? Because after the response we got, I kind of thought you were a part of this. So I apologize to you now for thinking that, unless you want to correct me. But do you know what that fan said about us that night?
No.
So... that fan came over to...
Keep in mind, I was not only hosting the show, I was producing, so I was running around and taking care of, like, 15, 20 different things. I was letting comics know, hey, you know, you're going up next, you got this much time, this much time. So I was organizing a lineup. I was taking care of... My mind was racing with
absolutely 15
to 20 different things, so... If there was something I missed, then, yeah, apologize, but like,
I didn't think you had anything to do with this until the response when we tried to get you on the show. Up until then, I had no reason to think, because like you said, you seemed like the one promoting the show, you were hosting it, it seemed like you were putting a lot of work into it, so I didn't think you were involved in this at all. But that fan came over to security and asked them to remove us, and we overheard him refer to us as incels and say you can remove them at any time. And this is before the show started, which I found very, I didn't understand at all.
This is the first I'm hearing of it.
Yeah, so we found that weird. And then he addressed us when he got on stage. He addressed us a couple times. I didn't know about the incel comment until after the show. So when he kind of addressed us on stage, I was like, that's very weird the way he said that. And then people informed me of it afterwards. So that really annoyed me and kind of dampened my experience. And then we went up, we talked to you afterwards. You couldn't have been nicer and more polite. But that was...
Fooled you guys, didn't I?
You tricked us into thinking you were a nice guy.
No,
but that couldn't have been like colder and more rude to us. And again, to have people come out to your show. And quite frankly, Tom, I thought... you brought more people to that show than Dat, which is another reason I was surprised he was so ungrateful that there were people there, is I was kind of like, hey, Tom Myers, his fans are making up your show, a show called Dat Fan and Friends. So be a little grateful that people are here rather than going to security and trying to get us kicked out. And this is not an instance of none of us had drank or anything. This isn't an instance of like, I wasn't even talking. He doesn't know what he's talking. This is legitimately, we were all sober and being good audience members, and he wanted us escorted out for some reason.
Like I said, this is the first I'm hearing of this, and this did not come up at all in any of the pre or the post show stuff.
Get your boy in line, Tom. You got to ask him about this, because this was very, it was very upsetting to me. I had no knowledge of Dat Fan before.
I don't have
this.
Any boys. I don't have any boys. I'm just a lone wolf on the trail of on the comedy trail.
In Dat's defense, he was on Last Comic Standing, so we got to give him that.
I've heard him mention that once or twice. Yeah, he was on Last Comic Standing. But yeah, that really annoyed me. Like, and I'm sure you can understand why an audience member would be annoyed at that, especially when we didn't come to see him. We came to see you, ended up having a great time, stayed, and were very polite for him, and he was just a complete asshole to us.
I mean, I will go ahead and say this. Over the years, Dat's become a friend of mine.
Yeah,
like we socialized a lot during his stay on the East Coast. He spent a couple weeks in the Mid-Atlantic area because he had a show. He had a show in D.C. and then he did my show, the one in Haverty Grace. So we hung out for quite a bit. He and his wife, he brought his wife with him on the road, who's also very nice. And
his co-host.
He brought his. On the Zoom shows, you mean?
You're starting a podcast.
He's been promoting a new podcast that I think he's doing with his wife as well. Yeah.
Yeah. He's getting into podcasting as fellow podcasters. I think we can all say, why the fuck would he want to put himself through that anguish? But that's a topic for another, it's a topic for another episode. But you know, his father-in-law came down from, Pennsylvania. They joined my mother and myself. All of us went to the Aberdeen Ironbirds game, where he threw out the first pitch and did a pretty great job for someone who's not a professional baseball player. So he had fun. The crowd there got into it as well. It was
like
a fun
time scouting him. He's got a decent arm.
His changeup is unhittable.
And then the southpaw takes the mound and throws it outside for ball one.
Well, Tom, I guess my point is you're going to have to choose now that we're pals, him or us. So I'll give you, you don't have to decide today. You can see what the response you get on the podcast is. But, you know, you're going to, a line in the sand is going to have to be drawn, because Dat Fan is my mortal enemy.
Well, I mean, listen, a lot of my friends hate my other friends. So many of my other friends. And I try and balance things. So I'll let you know in about 50 years.
It's
cool. I don't like to jump into things.
You know? You can tell Dad how friendly we are. If he wants to come on the podcast and smooth things out, he's more than welcome.
I mean, he's having a bad day. Who knows?
Yeah. Who knows? So, all right. So we've got that.
But like I said, I will say the only thing he cares about is running a great show, whether it's done, done virtually or a live show. And I apologize if I'm distracted. My cat's whining that I'm not paying attention to him at all. But I told him I'm doing a podcast. So, but I think he understands. But like I said, he cares about running a great show. And like I said, if this had been an issue during the show, I would have heard about it. In fact, the only issue I had that he had during the whole tour was in Florida, if you can believe it, comedy audience members in Florida creating an issue. No, wow. A guy came up on the stage with a pair of drumsticks, the instrument drumsticks, and he was escorted out. So to the best of my knowledge, that was the only audience member he had issue with the whole tour.
All right. Well, I'm bringing drumsticks next time. I'm coming after.
If you're gonna do a drum solo, just do it during my set, please. And like you know how Artie Lang brought up Scott the Engineer from the Howard Stern Show to do a set. I'll bring you up, ladies and gentlemen, a drum solo from Blind Mike Geary.
Honor, Tom. You have no idea.
I'll give you a drum solo.
I would love that.
And then he can beat me over the head with him over and over again. Like, go on these podcasts, you fucking idiot! God damn it.
I like that. It's a good impression, actually.
Yeah.
While we're on the Havre de Grace experience, Tom, I have one other question I wanted to ask you. This has vexed us since the moment it happened. You brought on a gentleman that went by the name of Judge Mentalist. Do you remember him? Is that his name? Yeah, I think so.
That's his stage name. Yeah.
Well, sure. No, I figured.
His parents didn't name him Judge.
He's an attorney, and very good one at that. He's like one of the biggest, one of the biggest ones in the tri-state area. So like he's helped get like settlements and stuff from like big insurance companies, like if people get injured and all that. So it's good work that he does. Like he basically sticks up for the little guy. He was someone whom I had known in our days in the Young Democrats. He was we were both chapter presidents in adjoining counties, me in Harford County and him in Cecil County, which if you know anything about Harford and Cecil counties,
I do not.
Trump won those with like 2/3 of the vote in both elections. So it is really hard to be a Democrat there, even with some moderates kind of and independents going to Democrats. So it's always been an uphill battle, but like we've remained friends for years. So
okay. So you're saying
he was also his company Elkton Magic was a sponsor of the show. So it was a great team effort, and it was a little something different that I wanted to do. Like instead of just having some stand-up comics come on, like I wanted to go ahead and have
a 2-week setup
and have him on, come on and do his and do his thing as well.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you. So he promoted that he's a hypnotist, but he said if you want to see me do hypnosis, you got to come back in 2 weeks. I got to get here in a couple weeks, so I'm not going to do it tonight. Which I found to be a very odd tactic. I was like, I can't come back in 2 weeks. That'd be crazy. Another drive.
You mean you don't have enough subscribers that would happily chip in for gas money? Come on, man! You have a whole army. You could command them to do your nefarious bidding, man. Come on!
All right, guys. Next time we're going to Havre de Grace to see Judge Mentalist, who apparently, as far as comedians and hypnotists go, he's a tremendous attorney.
How is he on the scale of comedy? Great attorney.
Tom is sneaky. Tom will give you his opinions. Like with Stuttering John, he's like, listen, his political show, it was okay. And this guy, as far as funny, I mean, you should see him in a courtroom.
I'll put it this way. I would not have Stuttering John on my show for the reasons I've already named.
Sure.
I had Judge Mentalist on because, you know, he was, and I've seen him perform live before. Yeah. He's awesome. He's a great showman, terrific entertainer. He engages the audience, and it's always a fun show whenever I've seen him.
How much have you dipped your toe into the Dabbleverse? Because I know you had beef with Ray DeVito. Are you? It sucks you in, as I know. I said so. I talked about Stuttering John on my show for a while, and then I said I'm going cold turkey. We're not talking Stuttering John anymore. But he's so intriguing that you kind of get sucked back in. So are you in the Dabbleverse now? Where do you stand with that?
I'm like the drunk fan at the ball game who might run onto the middle of the field before he gets escorted by security. Let's put it that way.
Like I follow. I get it.
I have my moments of glory and then that's it. I have my 37th or my 38th redemption arc, and then it's done.
Okay. Okay. So will you like check out the subreddit, or how are you consuming? How are you getting into the Devilverse?
Really the only thing I do is, even though I don't use it anymore, I still check my Twitter feed, because like I see if there's any interesting little news items that pop up. Like if you go to the search thing on Twitter, you can see like certain items that are trending, certain news stories, and I'll use those. There's also some accounts I still follow because I get videos off of there, which I've used as content on my show. And so I saw a clip where Ray DeVito for some reason I trigger people just by doing nothing.
I'm trying to explain this to you, Tom. You've got that ability.
If only I could use it to pick winning lottery numbers, then I would be set. But sure. And unfortunately I don't. But so it was one where we said, you know, do you see the comparison with the way people goof on you, Ray, with the way that people goof on Tom Myers? And his response was to get very upset and flustered and say to these hosts, you know what, that's, you're just trolling me, that's it, I'm done, which was the wrong answer to give.
Absolutely.
The right answer to give was the one I gave, which is, look, like, I've got trolls, you know, just like, you know, Ray's got trolls, you guys have them, I'm sure. Some of the best, some of the most well-known and better and popular podcasters out there have them. Every major.
Yep. Like us and Ray DeVito. The best.
Cream of the crop.
And so, but like I said, with me, for every troll I have, there's like a shit ton more people who are legit fans of mine. So that's the correct response to give. The other response to give is, oh, I'm glad at least someone's paying attention to me, and you know? I've been doing this shit for so long. Why the hell not? Yeah.
Well, that's encouraging to hear you say that, Tom, because that's what I was worried about when you were coming on. I was like, is he gonna be playful? Is he gonna be pissed if we like criticize him or anything like that? Because so many of these guys that you see online, and I think it is. With a lot of comedians, it's the case. Chad Zumach and Ray DeVito and these people that are involved in that world, the reason they get sucked in there is because they can't take a joke and they get so triggered by comments. And that's what I'm saying with WATP is, like, WATP has that effect on people where they'll make fun of you. But also, like, a lot of the people that Carl has on as guests are guys that he originally made fun of. And now they're, like, regulars on the show. Like, he is... You know, he maybe has a rough exterior, but, like, you know, behind the scenes, he's wearing cow bikinis and sucking dicks. He's a fun guy. So I guess that's ultimately what I'm saying is, like, real people fun to play along. I think in the long run, it's much more beneficial.
Does he do that on his Patreon? Because if he does, I'm subscribing right after this interview.
$20 tier.
Craig, can you Google right now, Carl WATP cow bikini? See if that comes up.
Oh, my God.
You'll like this, Tom.
No. I've already eaten, so okay.
Well, Tom, you're a liberal guy. I don't know the right term, but like he's a cross dresser. Is that accepted now? I don't know. That's what he's into. There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm equal opportunity. If it looks bad, then no.
Are we able to find that, Craig, or no?
It doesn't pop up in images, but a picture of Stuttering.
It's very disappointing. Stuttering John isn't doing his work.
A picture of Stuttering John pops up.
Everybody's
of course it does.
Well, damn, if you want to be
Tom, if you still want to be disgusted, we could pop that on the screen for you.
Hold on. Yes. I got the episode which he's wearing it.
Oh, okay. Can we see that?
Yeah, let me.
I just want to show Tom.
Let me get a screenshot here so it's cleaner.
Okay, good.
I'm going to wish that I hadn't stared directly into that eclipse today. I know it.
It's a sexy photo, Tom.
You can only see the top half. You don't get the money shot, unfortunately.
Oh, that's too bad.
Now you want the money shot. That's where the money's at.
That's for the Patreon. Hence the money.
That's what the people that pay the big bucks get. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah.
Let's see here. Present.
All right. So, yeah, so you're just peripherally in the Devilverse. You're not hooked it. You're not watching Stuttering John or anything like that. What's your beef with Ray DeVito? It's just that, ultimately, is that he was shitty to you that one time, or do you have other interactions with him?
Well, given a lot of the stuff that's come out about him, like him, like according to the one video I saw that the user Franklin Scheckler, whatever his name is, put out. I don't know if you've seen it. What he does is he deconstructs the accident that Ray DeVito talks about.
The Kobe Bryant plane crash?
And he just completely disproves him on that. Where he says, oh, I got sideswiped by a semi when, in fact, not only was the other vehicle maybe a semi, maybe not quite sure. The other vehicle is listed as unknown. But when on the report, it said that Ray was the one who struck the vehicle. So he wasn't sideswiped. He was the one who hit the other vehicle, according to this video that Franklin Scheckler put out.
Interesting.
I do enjoy that.
And little things like he said, oh, it was late at night. It was at 5 PM and the sun didn't set until like 7, which like driving that time of day can be kind of tricky, but like even I would know like pre sunset from middle of the night.
Sure.
So I know the difference.
I do enjoy that this whole story has been told with Carl in the bikini on the screen.
We can get him off.
That looks like, no, don't get him off. Don't get him off, please. No, but I mean, when I said don't get him off, no.
Oh, Tom, you rascal.
Get the image of that Dollar General milk gallon off of that fucking screen right now. Come on, man. I don't need to see that shit.
Give it to him, Tommy.
Keep going.
I've already eaten, but God damn it. Now I wish I had stared directly into that eclipse.
So you said you ruffle people's feathers. Who else you have beef with, Tom? Get it off your chest. Now this is the place to do it. Yeah. Anyone else in the comedy community that's had a run-in with you?
I mean, there's some local comics in this particular area. I'd say I get along with like 99% of them. Okay. Like there's a few who it's just like, why are you doing comedy? I don't know, that kind of thing. But like I said, I've gotten that for so many years. It's like I said, it's just, it's white noise to me at this point.
Yeah. Does that bother you? Cause I saw, you, I think you posted the Tom Myers roast, right? A couple months ago. Mm-hmm. It was from years ago, but you posted it somewhat recently.
It was the day before Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Does that stuff, are there people there that bothered you? Cause I think that's originally, we played the clip of Mickey Cuccella. Is that his name? The radio guy?
Yeah. Mickey Cuccella. Yeah. The former radio guy. He's not, he's doing okay, but he's been off the radio here for quite a few years now.
Another convicted liar.
That's right. Yeah. But he went in on you pretty good. Is that like all in good fun, or is that where people kind of started shitting on you?
I get, the difference is I get along with Mickey. I get along pretty much with every single person who's been on that dais. But what was great about it was the person who organized the roast, and he did a great job, Mike Turpin. He was the guy who was the PMC of the roast. He said, listen, I want to make this, like, I want this to be fun for you. And so basically it was just everybody with whom I'd got along. Like I'd had very good friends of mine I'd known for a long time, like Ron Bender, Irwin Loring, Ken Water, guys I'd worked with for a number of years. So it was nobody who I didn't like was on that dais. So
okay.
I do not have a beef with anybody who was there, and nobody there has a beef with me, to the best of my knowledge.
All right. Very good.
They could have had an after party afterwards, didn't invite me, and just completely shit on me. And I still don't know about it to this day. It's entirely possible, but no, I mean, I get along. I do my best to try to get along with most people. Some don't want to be got along with, as we say where I'm from, mm-hmm. but I don't give a rat's ass about that.
Attaboy. How about someone like Stavros Halkias? Because I know with Cometown, like, it was kind of always, it felt like you versus Nick. But did you ever have any interaction with someone like Stavros, who's now huge? And that, again, is where I'm saying, like, in a way, that kind of has to be a cool feeling for you. Because you look at how big Stavros has gotten career-wise. And don't make a fat jokes.
A weight joke? What? Really? Come on.
But he's gotten, like, his career has blown up so much that the idea that that guy was making fun of you, even if it was nasty or whatever, in a way, that's got to be cool, no?
I'll wait till it shows up on his Wikipedia page that he made fun of me before I pass any judgment.
So everyone tweet at Lewis and write that.
Did you ever run in with him, or is it just because he was in the podcast that he kind of joined in?
I mean, I never really had, like, I'd done a few shows with him, but, like, we never really hung out or did anything like that. That's the weird thing about this, because I've been doing this for so long. Like, I did a show back in January, and this one comic who was on the bill came up to me and said, "Don't you remember me? We worked together in 2017. We did this show." And I'm like, "I don't even remember what I had for lunch today." Like, you're asking me to remember who the fuck was on a bill of some random show, like, before COVID, which itself feels like 4 or 5 decades ago. I'm like, no. Like, any small, like, any small interactions, I don't remember. Because in comedy, especially in local markets, like, there's a lot of turnover, especially. Like, people do it for a few years, and then they drop off the face of the planet, and then maybe they'll come back for a little bit, maybe they won't. So, like, really, the tough ones are the ones who stick around and tough it out. Those are the ones that I tend to remember the most.
Yeah. Has anyone, because we heard you allude to something in that Mir Musk interview that I couldn't quite decipher what you were hinting at, but it sounded like you were kind of suggesting that a comedian that you had helped out and had in your podcast from the Baltimore area got much bigger, and you kind of expected the favor would be returned and never was. It was very vague, so it was hard to tell what you were referring to on the podcast. But does anything like that ring a bell, or was I just totally misreading it? Has there been anyone in your career that maybe you've helped out that has kind of surpassed you in the business that hasn't paid that favor back?
So you're being brutally honest with me. I'm going to be brutally honest with you. You really misread that one.
Okay.
But what prefaced that was the, in that clip that triggered me to, you know, reach out to Lil Mir and say, "Hey, great job taking Ray to task on some of this stuff," because both he and Chow on that episode really kind of held his feet to the fire, even though he didn't want it.
Yeah.
One of the things that was brought up was that it was rumored that Ray didn't want to introduce me to John Fugelsang, who, like, we both do a political thing, whatever, And he actually did, Ray, to his credit, Ray did help me out with that. He got me John Fugelsang's contact information. I reached out to him, and I'm not going to discuss the way I do business on a public forum, but as I said on that episode, he is, like, the expression where I come from is he does get an attaboy for doing that. So okay. I'm thankful to him for that. And what I was saying was, like, I remember people who do good things for me and who help me out. So the hypothetical situation that I was doing was that should this contact between myself and John Fugelsang amount to something, maybe it might not, whatever. I don't care. I expect the worst, hope for the best. Then I am generally forever indebted to people who I find have helped me out. And I gave the example of this one comic who was who he and I are ideologically, we are different. He went down the Donald Trump rabbit hole in 2016, 2017, mm-hmm. Cut me and everybody who thinks like me out of his life. Years before that, he hipped me to a comic who was posting and saying stuff about me, just like, "Hey, look out for this guy." I said, "Okay, thanks a bunch." This booker, it turns out, he was he's sort of become a local pariah because it turns out he was sending photos of his junk to female comics he'd had on his show.
Yikes.
Oh, one of them was underage, was 16 oh. years old.
Allegedly.
So, hit the jackpot, right, Craig?
So like I said, with this one comic, like I could go toe to toe with him ideologically, a battle of Trump versus Biden, whatever. But for him looking out for me, I'm always going to be grateful to him for that. Yeah. It's like I was grateful to, like I also said, I was grateful to Robbie Goodwin for helping me figure out how to distribute my podcast, get on all the platforms and all. Mm-hmm. I was also grateful to Luis J. Gomez, believe it or not, because I asked him some pointers on how to get a theme for my podcast that, you know, without having to play an instrument myself, because unless it's the triangle, I'm shit at playing music.
I think playing the triangle would be a terrific intro for your show, honestly, Tom.
You should probably think about doing that.
You know what? I might revamp it for the new season of Tom Myers versus the rest of the world. Now available wherever you get your podcasts, as well as on my YouTube channel and my Patreon. But like I said, like Lewis went ahead and said, what you do is just go to a public domain website. You can actually buy clips, like musicians. Like there's websites you can go to where musicians will record stuff. And they'll put it on there and like you can actually buy the clip. And I found a really kick-ass theme tune for my podcast. So people like the aforementioned comic that I had mentioned, Robbie Goodwin and Luis J. Gomez, I'm forever grateful to them. So I do have, I don't want to come off as seeming like I'm just against the rest of the world, even though that's kind of the name of my
whole
podcast.
Point.
I do know when to be grateful for stuff.
Yeah. Lewis has actually been very cool to us as well. He came on the show very early on. He's shouted us out a couple of times. He's been nice to me when I've seen him in person. So and it seems like he does a lot of great things for comics in general. So shout out again to the Rattlesnake. But have you ever considered with guys like Robbie Goodwin, Luis J. Gomez, New York comedians, kind of helping you out in that way? Have you ever considered leaving the Baltimore area, going up to New York, or one of the maybe the burgeoning Austin scene, something like that?
Here's the thing. I like where I live now. I like that I can be within like driving, or I can take a train to a place like DC or Philly or even New York, or even places like Richmond or even Charlotte. Like North Carolina has a growing art scene as well. It might not get to the, it won't get to the level of New York or LA probably, but it's a good, mm-hmm. it's a good scene. So I like where I live now. Plus so much of my life is rooted here.
It's why
ruin a good thing. Plus on the weekends, I work for a local youth baseball complex. I do public address announcing for youth baseball tournaments.
Yes.
And that is a great way to just completely decompress. Like as soon as the weekend rolls around, I can turn off the comedian and the podcaster part of myself and just go, and I get to
be a regular guy. Let your hair down.
I get to announce names. I get to play music. I get to watch baseball, and I get paid for it. So right. Like it's
pretty good gig.
I'm living the dream. I'm living the dream down here.
Yeah. All right. So
that's not to say if I got like a big offer or something, then
yeah, okay, I guess that's kind of my next question. So what's the goal? You're just content with doing what you're doing in the Maryland comedy scene for the rest of your life? Or is the goal ultimately, I would like to, tour around the country, or I'd like to live in New York eventually. Like, do you see this at the point that your career is at right now, Tom? Is that what you see doing for the rest of your life, or your aspirations for something bigger?
I mean, I have toured around the country. I've already performed like in, I think, 30 some states. I've lost track of that.
Yeah.
But if that opportunity ever came up again, I'd certainly go ahead and jump for it. But okay. But right now, I'm content doing what I'm doing. Like I said, the podcast keeps me busy. In fact, I've got to go ahead and type up the episode that I'm recording tomorrow once I'm through here. But like I said, I got all night for that. We can hang out here and have fun a little bit.
I can let you go, Tom. We can wrap.
No. We're having. You're not having fun with me. You're I'm already tired of me.
I'm having the best.
I didn't realize it's already been an hour. Jesus.
Damn it. Let's do four more hours. Come on. Let's make this a show.
You got it, buddy.
But I know that there's a expression I always go by. It says, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. So I can always say, like, I'm going to do this and this and this, but, you know, certain shit comes up and, well, that completely fucks up what I was going to do. So,
right.
You know, listen, I'm not, like I said, I have a great life. I do stand up when I can. I have... like I said, the podcast, the baseball announcing, that's all fun for me. Is it the best life in the world? No, but you know what? I'm content. I'm happy. Okay.
That's good to hear. So a couple things I wanted to ask, before we get you out of here. One, there is a clip that, I've made fun of and others have made fun of. I don't know if you're aware of this. You were on a local news program. This is years ago at this point. I think you were probably promoting Make America Nate again, maybe around that time. You were on a local news program and, you were talking about your jokes and how they, can sometimes be construed as offensive. And the newscaster asked you why you do what you do. And you said, well, it's like any other job, like a fireman running into a burning building. You know, we do what we do. That you didn't mean literally, right?
I mean, it was the best I could think of off the top of my head at the moment. It was just like, look, I mean, as a comic, like, you're never going to make everybody happy. Every joke, like, by definition, is going to piss off somebody. Sure. So, I mean, that's always the risk. And yeah. Sometimes it goes well. Sometimes it blows up in your face. It's like I say, it's a job. It's work. I mean, it's supposed to be fun. You're supposed to, this expression is, if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. But I mean, mm-hmm. It is a job. You have a responsibility. You're working. You're not up on stage dicking around, fucking around, that kind of thing. You're supposed to be professional. You're supposed to put on a good show. And I have always, no matter the situation, I have always aimed to do that. Okay. That's always been my goal.
And I figured that's kind of what you meant. It was just ultimately, like, when you hear that, like, I've confirmed that pitchforks, torches, and other random thoughts has saved a few lives. I just don't think as many as your typical firefighter. So that was my only, when I heard that, I was like, what is this guy talking about?
Yeah, on September 11th, when 293 comedians died that day.
Someone yelled out bong head transplants. And
are you sick of that joke?
Seven went down.
Are you sick of the
I have an alibi. That joke hadn't been written yet, so fuck you.
Are you? I think that's what you were about to ask, right, Craig? Are you sick of bong head transplant references?
Yeah, that was my question.
Not really. I mean, I don't do that joke anymore just because.
Yeah. I think it's your hot pockets. You should start doing it, like, as your an encore.
Well, I had written that joke. I've learned to compartmentalize myself. Like I said, there's, you know, baseball announcer Tom, there's podcaster Tom, and there's a stand-up comedian Tom. Like, I try and whatever I try to do, I try and put forth, like, a certain image of myself. The bit bong hit transplant was written, it was during my drinking days, and I've since gotten sober. And congrats. I'm not last drop of alcohol I had was December 30th of 2011. And
congrats.
Thank you. So it's plus I'm also not in my early to mid 20s anymore. I just turned, I turned 41 this past January. So I kind of don't want to talk about stuff anymore that I would talk about when I was like fresh out of college or in the let's destroy my health with beer, whiskey, and Papa John's pizza phase of of my life.
That, maybe sell t-shirts or something though. Bong hit transplant is that's a great t-shirt. I think I'm trying to make you money here, Tom. I'm trying to brand you. I'm trying to get you merch.
I appreciate it, but I've always wanted to go ahead and just be the actual stand up, the actual comedy, and the albums that I put out be the money making thing. Like the idea of selling like merch, just like slapping my name on any product that isn't nailed down, that's never really appealed to me. Plus, I can already hear the complaints. Like as soon as I put out t-shirts, everybody will be like, "Why the fuck you put out a t-shirt? This sucks. This is shit."
Yeah, or the material sucks.
I don't need the headache.
Yeah. I got you. Well, Tom, it's honestly been a pleasure, my friend. Like I said, we've busted your balls in the past, but I really enjoyed that you reached out to us to come on here, which I do think that shows, like I said, I respect that move a lot because I think so many other people, whether it's in the Dabbleverse or anywhere else on the internet, like play it wrong. And I appreciate you coming on. I do think I did. So I haven't convinced you at all to do WATP or if they ever invited you on the Adam Friedland show. I didn't move you in the slightest.
I'd say it moved a little.
Yeah, you can't be successful at everything all the time, Mike. I mean, come on.
You're thinking about it.
If anybody knows about failing at things, look who you're talking to.
Tom, tell us it moved. It moved a little.
You'll be on WATP soon. I can feel it.
I can feel it.
Like you wanted to feel that bikini picture. Yeah, I got you. Yeah.
I wanted to lick that bikini picture.
And you look sexy. It was a sexy image.
You sick freaks.
Well, Tom.
Well, again, like I said, despite some of the shit that happened during your trip, I'm legit glad that you guys came down. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'm also glad you got a place for the night because the idea of you just going being on the road for all that hours. I've done it. I would not wish that on anybody. And I hope I was able to help at least like dig a shallow grave for the hatchet. Maybe not bury it, but
that fan I won't forgive until he shows his face on this program. But Tom, you and I. Slate is clean, my friend. And I am I crazy, Craig? I feel like we might have to go back to Havre de Grace this summer.
Oh, we're definitely going back.
Tom, let us know. And if you ever come up to Boston, well, maybe we can work something out. So we'll be in touch on that as well. Because our buddy David Collins talked about maybe doing a show up here. Oh, I don't know if this guy has reached out to you at all, Tom. He said he did. And he said he had trouble getting a hold of you. If a guy named David Collins reaches out to you, absolutely do his show. He's got the Blind Mike stamp of approval. Great guy, and I think you'd be perfect for his program.
And he's not in the Dabbleverse at all.
No.
So many people reach out to me. It's like I'd have to dig through my archives, and I'd need to hire a secretary.
I understand. You're a busy man. I get it.
Well, like I said, I'm only one person, and I got so much stuff to take care of. So
sure.
But I legit enjoyed myself, and I will say, like I said, I was in Boston right before, a couple months before COVID happened and everything shut down. One of the greatest fucking audiences I've ever had. So I would love to come back.
All right, we'll figure that out. Any Tom, city thanks so much for coming on.
Any city that hates the Yankees is a city I want to be.
I'm kind of a Yankees fan, but we won't get into it.
Oh, fuck. No.
Where can the people find you, Tom?
Yes, Tom Myers versus the rest of the world is the podcast. What else should they look out for?
Everything is on the website, tommyers.us, spelled M-Y-E-R-S. You can find my podcast on my Patreon. You can listen to ad-free episodes, extended episodes, little bonus clips I put up there. I re worked all the tiers, all the memberships. So like everything's like affordable now, just because I don't really do a whole, I don't do the live streams or anything like that. I, like I said, I don't have the time or the resources. So I just put up like the episodes. So like the cheapest membership is like $1 and a month, and you still get a lot for that. So there's that.
Stuff
and I tell you what, I got to move this shit, man. You know, I got bills, man. But yeah, TomMyers.us is the website, and Tom Myers versus the rest of the world. That's the podcast.
All right, buddy, guys, go check out Tom Myers. Oh, and I got to say this too. I heard you say something like people don't really listen to podcasts on YouTube or whatever. Get your show, get the video on YouTube. What are you doing? You're missing an opportunity here. A political show. If you title it's, that right, you'll be right in that algorithm.
Right, maybe. In that algorithm.
They're all, I mean, well, they're all on YouTube, but it's audio podcasts, just because I don't have the, again, I don't have the time or the patience to edit video. So, yeah, that's but the episodes are up there on the they're all up there on YouTube anyway. So you can you can listen to them on there. They have that option. And in fact, I would actually prefer you listen to them on YouTube, so I can go ahead and get that monetization. So I can go ahead and do bigger and better things with the channel and with whatever the fuck the fate wants to deal my way.
Absolutely. So go check out Tom Myers, and then you guys know where to go to support this program, blindmike.net, all platforms as well. Subscribe. We also have a Patreon. When you're done subscribing to Tom's, make sure you check out ours. We have YouTube.
Although if you only have enough money to subscribe to one, just stay subscribed to Blind Mike's
page. Oh, get out of here.
Stop
Tom.
It.
No, go to Tom first. You're too much. I know. Tom, thank you, buddy. Guys, we will talk to you next week.
And we have a meme transition.
Sappers clear the way, airborne all the way.
Now, this is very interesting. Now, really, ladies, if you listen in, and men, and everybody in between.
If I tell you you've got a homicide, buddy, you've got a homicide.
I hope to hear from you soon.
I am proud to own the Trumpy Bear, and I will always be proud to be an American.
Until then, have yourself a great day, and as always, rock on.
Stop the baloney, huh?
What kind of statement is that?
I wrote it.
One of my favorite players to cover when he was here was Mike Vrabel. Tell me a Mike Vrabel story.
Whatever, dude. I keep it cool at the gym.
Piss on him.
All right. All right.
Stop, my belly hurts.
My dad was in the military.
What's that, sir?
Can you please kindly F off, please?
If a person is on a bridge threatening to jump, how do we know that he wants help?
Anyway, God bless America.